Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody at home. Today we're going to start off with two songs, neither of which we've sung recently, but I think most of you should know them. The first one is Have Faith in God. It starts off with, O Lord, You Lead Me. Lord, we want to see Jesus.
Let's join together in a responsive call to worship if you join in the parts in bold. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion.
They are like Mount Zion, which is immovable, abiding forever.
Jerusalem has mountains surrounding it, and the Lord God surrounds God's people even now and for all time. God of the unexpected moment, You have gathered us by your Spirit to serve us and renew us and surround us.
Break in on our world by hearing to the deaf, sight to the blind, speech to the dumb. Come in on unexpected power.
Bring form to our chaos, light to our darkness, and life to our hearts.
Fill us with your strength and spirit.
Amen. Let's join in singing the hymn, Sing to God. A very warm welcome to everyone this morning. We remember with respect whose land we meet on, the folk of the Gunai Kurnai Nations. We honour their elders and commit ourselves to that Christian ministry of working towards reconciliation and justice. We recognise that we come as a diverse peoples from many places in life and with many things in the background of what we have come with ourselves. We recognise that this last week has been a tough week for many. We've just sung about God curtaining the land with clouds and ensuring that rains shall fall, and sometimes we wish there might be a little less wind with that rain that helps things to grow. It's been a trying week for many, I know. We began our worship with a responsive part of the psalm that's the prayer for today, Psalm 125. We have a more Australian modern version for us to join in as our responsive reading. So please join in the parts in the bold print. Those who put their trust in you, O Lord, are like Mount Hotham, solid, calm, dependable.
Like a mountain watching over the sea, so you, Lord, watch over your people, offering protection now and forever.
Where people are committed to playing straight, you will not let injustice dominate. If it did, even untrustworthy people might let evil through their guard. But as for those who have embraced the ways of corruption, be it on their own heads if they are swept away when you bring evil to its final end.
May all your people enjoy peace, O Lord.
Let's continue in prayer. Let us pray. God of all, wonderful Creator, our souls yearn to open up to you, to bask in your light and to be the brightness that you made us for. We pray that you would illuminate any darkness in us and reclothe us in Christ with all the colour of life abundant, and coax open the tender buds of praise and thankfulness and generosity in all of us again, as our past mistakes can become the compost of new growing. And as the season pushes new brightness into our world, we pray that you would also come into our lives again with your renewing life. And then whatever our colour or form, whatever our native habitat or home, whatever we have done or left undone, renew us by your Spirit. And let us join in a harmony of gratitude so that even with our often muddied hues, we might join with all the colours of your creation and with the renewing wings of your Spirit and be lifted to live to your glory. And as the world around us shows these signs of being renewed, and what had been bare and grey turns to growth and budding colour, hear our prayers and renew us too through Christ. And here where we feel familiar and do things we are accustomed to, confront us again with your otherness, with the newness of your glory and the unfathomable mystery that is you, and call us to grow into your newness. And then we join in prayer responsively in our relationship with you and with each other, in the times when we have accepted injustice done to others, in the times we have enjoyed your creativity around us, but have been afraid to ask for our own healing, life-giving Trinity, raise us from our pain and brokenness. Touch us, heal us, and strengthen us, so that we may live the wholeness you desire, to the glory of your name. Amen. The two readings we have this morning have an interesting relationship, and we're going to have a hymn in between the two. So, two stories from Mark. A story of Jesus on something of a journey and the issues he's always confronted with of people in need. Then we'll sing The Blind Man Sat by the Road and He Cried, and you'll know why we're singing it after you hear the reading. And then we'll hear from James chapter 2 following that. Mary, thanks.
Our first reading is from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 37. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician or origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned to the region of Tyre and went on the way to Sidon, towards the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took the man aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were open and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously he proclaimed it. They were astounded. "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak."
So let's join in singing.
Oh,
James chapter 2.
Second reading from the New Testament is from James chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favouritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there, sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonoured the poor. Is it not the rich you oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into the court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that has invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the law of transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Gracious God, may the seed of your word find a place in our lives to take root and to grow and bear much fruit to your glory. For in Christ we pray. Amen. I think it's true that we humans seem to always have loved to divide people. Divide them into groups and then treat them according to the label that we assign to them. There's the goodies and the baddies. The deserving, the undeserving. Those with the right race or right culture or faith, and the wrong ones. We do it with borders, and we do it with labels, and we judge by clothing or by attitudes. Those who are in, and those who are on the outer. And I agree, there are two sorts of people, those who like to divide others into categories and those who don't. Now in our story in the Gospel, Jesus is out of town, so I thought I should put up a little bit of an illustration for you. So down towards the bottom of the map, there's a big white arrow, and that points to Jerusalem. And halfway up, or two-thirds, where it says Galilee, there's an arrow pointing to Lake Galilee. Now, that's actually the area that Jesus spent most of his time in. Not in Jerusalem at the bottom. That was the centre of faith for the Israelites at that time. And then, towards the top of the map, there on the coast, in what is now Lebanon, are the areas of Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus has gone north to the coast for a bit of a break, and he's staying in a house, and the gospel told us he didn't want anyone else to know he was there, but like many of our plans, that didn't work either. So that's the context. Jesus is out of his territory. He's with the Gentiles in the region that at the time was called Phoenicia. That's the wrong crowd for good Jewish people. His disciples don't get a mention in these stories at all. We don't know if they were there or if they were not. The first story has a woman who's heard about Jesus, and then the second story has a man who has no hearing. Interesting contrast. And then in her territory, Jesus says to the needy woman that what he has is not for the dogs. It's a rather ugly comparison of need and status of deserving. And then we hear of a deaf and speech impaired man who can't be kept silent at all. It's a strange and difficult pair of stories. These are stories full of stark humanity. There is no writer's glamour at work here depicting Jesus always helping the needy. No. Jesus, in fact, is very human in these stories as well. In fact, I think this is a rather rare gem of a story where we see Jesus learning from someone, from a Gentile woman. And we see learning and change happening in Jesus. So we learn firstly that he needs to get away. This is some of the Roman ruins at Tyre on the Mediterranean coast. Often when we think of little villages in this area, we might think of something kind of small and poor, but no, these were quite grand Roman ruins, and I imagine probably looked even better in Jesus' day. Mark says Jesus didn't want anyone to know that he was there. Why didn't Jesus want anyone to know he was there? If we're reading chronologically through Mark's gospel, we might have picked up that just recently, Jesus' cousin John had recently been murdered, so there was a death in the family. We know what that experience is like. Takes some time to get over. But also maybe it's because he's been on a whirlwind tour, feeding the hungry and healing the sick, and Jesus is now bereaved and fatigued, and it seems a little besieged as well. So he's gone for a bit of time out, but someone noticed that Jesus was in the house and points him out to the woman with the need, with the troubled daughter. And then there's Jesus' reaction to this woman. It's not straightforward at all. But faith still turns out to be faith, even for foreigners. Compassion, it seems, is able to cross borders. The woman will not be put off by the teacher's rather offensive first dismissal. She has the incredible audacity to answer him back. And her wise answer is full of compassion. Compassion for her suffering daughter. And what mother or father does not know that experience? We all know the power of the image of a suffering child. Jesus then changes his stance. He gets past the normal cultural barrier and he offers help. The subject of borders and the limits we have to our compassion are very topical in our world again today. People whose lives are under real threat will do all that they can in order to get help, in order to find freedom, in order to see some glimmer of the reality of hope. People whose lives are under threat will do anything. If they can't go one way, they will go another. These biblical stories of the challenge to show compassion are good material to help us to reflect on our current issues in our world. In the story that follows, the story of the deaf and speech challenge man's healing, we need to stay with the context. Jesus' helping of people is never divorced from politics or the geography that's involved. Jesus has been off in Tyre on the Mediterranean coast. I don't think it was Club Med there at the time. And now Jesus is still out of the country, but still helping foreigners. He's in the area of the Decapolis. This is one of the Decapolis cities, Roman ruins. This is at a place called Jerash. It's in what's now Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan River, not far from Galilee. So Jesus is on the way home. This is the same area and the same grand Roman cities. Again, I think they probably looked a little more together in Jesus' day. But Jesus helping foreigners in a city looking like this would have is a bit like being a native Russian crossing the border into Ukraine and helping the bombed people there. Goodness. Or like a Catholic from East Timor crossing into Muslim Indonesian West Timor to help their poor. Or like an Afghani asylum seeker recently out of detention on Nauru coming over and helping the sick Aussies in our streets. Not what we expect. Jesus is heading back to Galilee, but he's still in the Roman-dominated Decapolis area, and they bring him a deaf man. "Be opened," says Jesus to the man's ears. That which had been closed, to what had closed him off from so much of life, Jesus commands a new openness, to be made new. Jesus takes the deaf man aside to heal him, and he warns those who knew about it, "Please keep quiet about this." This was a scandalous and obvious sign of God's presence at work, for the deaf to hear, and for this to happen outside of what they thought of as God's patch, well, that was scandalous. Jesus' disciples had heard his teaching, but it seems they were better at misunderstanding than they were at preaching it to others. But the deaf man's tongue is loosed, and he shares the good news about Jesus, even as he's being told to keep it quiet. The news would not be silenced. Real good news will not be kept quiet. The man has been overtaken by the incredible grace of God. I wonder, where is the incredible grace stopping people in their tracks and setting their tongues wagging in these times as signs of God's presence still working in our world today? Unfortunately, I think there are still some who think it's God's will to put up boundaries, to keep some out and others in. And that is plainly the opposite of the gospel as we read it. In our world today, we have so many wonderful advances that bring new openings to people who are otherwise shut out. Medicine has followed the great healer Jesus in discovering how to bring new freedoms and to open that which would have stayed shut. To the oppression of racism or affliction, God's love shouts out, Ephatha, be opened. People of faith throughout human history who have seen the bondage of hatred or mistrust or needless limitations of physical conditions have shouted, Ephatha, be opened, and done what they can to help. And then the story asks us, the people who read this and hear it through the generations, where will we find that which is bound and closed and needing God's new freedom around us now? Where can we lend our Ephatha? Because as James, I think, makes it bluntly clear again, this is the very nature of Christian faith. There will be no bigots with boundaries of haves and have-nots. No division between race, ours and theirs. No distinctions on gender, religion, sexual orientation or politics. Partiality, James says, is the opposite of Jesus' way. And it's illustrated perfectly in the gospel with Jesus crossing these traditional boundaries to help a foreigner's daughter and a deaf man. So what are the boundaries that challenge us in our everyday living? And what are the openings beyond them? You and I, we all have areas that we can learn in. It's not just national attitudes to asylum seekers and people from Muslim countries that are in focus in these readings. So a small example. I wonder how many of us go out of our way to learn about or to help those who are underprivileged in our society. I wonder how's our attitude to issues of Indigenous injustice. There's much in our world that needs opening to new opportunity. Our part is meant to be in the showing of mercy, not the judging of people or motive. James says to us plainly, speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty, for judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment, but it's not an easy thing to put into practice, is it? A story. One evening, an old Aboriginal elder was telling his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. Young fella, he said, the battle is between two dingoes inside of us all. One dingo is evil. His anger, envy, jealousy, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, and false pride. And the other one is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The boy thought about it for a minute or two, and then he asked, "Hey, but which dingo wins?" Very quietly, the old man simply replied, "The one you feed." Ephatha, be opened. Jesus' words might well address every human being. Be open to helping. Be opened to others. Be opened to new possibilities and new learning. Feed the good and not the bad. By God's grace, may our eyes and our hearts be opened more and more to learn as Jesus did from his compassionate involvement and then help to open the way for others too. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn that might have some unfamiliar words, but I'm hoping the tune might work well for us. O Christ, the healer, we have come to pray for health, to plead for friends. lovely prayer, isn't it? Now, let's hear some things that are happening in the life of the church as we share a little of what we do in response to God's call. Thanks.
Morning. There's plenty on the notice sheet today. Just to highlight a few items. Number one, today, 4 o'clock, Messy Church. Wednesday, WOW. So see Heather to book. That's important. The talk's about connections, but Joy's going to talk to you a little bit about that later. Last Sunday's congregational meeting, there was discussion of finances. Now, for your response, the opportunity to engage and discern, there was a form to fill out. I believe there's copies still out there, and there is a box on the table outside of the office to put your returns in. What's not in your notices, but think about this, put it on your calendar, there'll be more to come. October the 12th, long way off, but it'll come around pretty quick. We're planning a fundraiser, a car boot sale, on October the 12th between 9 and 1.30. Looking to have a cake stall, a craft stall, some barbecue. We've got a coffee van teed up already. And that's going to pull in a few things for Samaritan's Purse, Frontier Services, and a little bit of help towards our sustainability. So next Wednesday afternoon at 2.30 here in the chapel, we're going to have a meeting for anybody who can come and help and give us some ideas and work out what we've got to do, a bit of planning. If you can't make it, then just grab hold of me or Mary and have a chat. So that's all from me. And join us for a cuppa after, and Joy's going to have a quick chat to you.
By now, I'm sure you're all really familiar about the format for Connections Lunch because it's been in the notice sheet for 3 weeks. This is the board for you to fill in, and it's out on the table near the office. Last week, it was actually covered up by something, and you may have gone looking for it and not found it, but it will be there today. And if you can't see it, lift up some of the stuff and find it, all right? This is the last opportunity to put your name down, as next Sunday the hosts will get the list of their visitors, and you will hear from the hosts about what you might be able to bring. The host does not provide the food, we all share in that. So put your name on. Now this list is clear, and it's not because there's no one coming, it's because the other page was nearly full, so put your name down. Thank you.
Thanks, Joy and David. Also to note with sadness that our friend Nita Morgan passed away yesterday. So our thoughts and prayers are with Kerry and the rest of Nita's family. We're not sure how the arrangements will work out in terms of a Thanksgiving service, but we'll let people know when that's able to be shared. Let's join together now in our prayers for one another, for the world, and for those in our community. Let's pray. Loving God, we have so much to be thankful for, but we know that all is not well for many and for our wider world. As our lives often now seem unstable and things we rely on are broken in the wind and our systems seem so fragile, let our trust be in you, O God, who never changes. And as we find it hard to know just what we should be doing, or what tomorrow might bring us, and when the world seems less reliable and less safe for so many. Help us to put our trust in you, O God, and then be able to offer some of that trust and your compassion to those around us. O God, as we're still horrified by what we see in the news of Ukraine and Palestine and so many places, we know that you do surround us, and we pray that your love will surround these people. And we pray that our leaders and those of other countries will help and will deal with people with compassion and see them as people worthy of love and dignity. God, as we see those little signs of spring in our gardens and all around us, let that excitement of new life fill us with your joy. As your creation bursts forth again around us, as it does each year, help us to appreciate all that we have and care for it as we should. Help us to remember that we can be secure in you, and our trust is in you, who never changes, and that you call us to be a part of your caring for those who are in particular need. We remember those who are ill, those who are homeless. We remember those who are grieving. For those who don't know where to turn for help. And we pray that our eyes may be opened to those that we can care for. And help us, O God, to know what we can do with a word of encouragement, with the little that we can offer. And then, O God, we pray for our world, our community, and our friends and families, and for ourselves. And we name before you those who are on our hearts. And we ask that in the quiet you might hear our prayers. Loving God, we pray for your healing, for your compassionate presence, as we say together the prayer that you taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And save us from the time of trial. And deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And as we respond to God's call on our lives, we mark our wider offering with these gifts for the work of the church. And then we continue in song with the last hymn, Beauty for Brokenness. So having listened to the James reading, you'll know why I didn't select anyone specific for a welcome today, because it says show no partiality, and if someone who's rich and comes in and someone But I would particularly like to welcome our Vanuatan friends who are back with us. Great to have you with us. It's also good to have visiting Minister for the Region, Fee Morrison, who's our new Presbytery Chairperson, and you'll get to meet a little more in October. I think it's the 13th, perhaps. She's going to be our guest preacher. So come to her. Please. Excellent. So a wonderful welcome to everyone. And please, the point of this was to welcome everyone to stay for fellowship afterwards. There's some morning tea. Please join us in fellowship. So some words of blessing, and then we'll sing a blessing to one another. As we go on our way, to whatever the week may bring, go blessed with the wisdom and will to help others, and the humility to be open to your own needs too. Go blessed with the courage to forgive and be forgiven, to serve and to be served. And with us always will be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.
Thank you.